like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who is, well, first of all, I'm doing an interview in person, which is like the first time since before the pandemic that I've done
this.
Because it's been, you know, the Zoom has been so convenient that like usually it's just sort of my go-to. But, you know, people who've listened to the show for a long time would probably remember back in the good old days when I would actually drive around the city and interview people at their jam spaces or basements or, you know, back of a van or whatever. And the guest on this episode is someone who was on the show back then. It's been
absolutely when I started back
6 years. Yeah. And then I went to interview you in your own studio setup you had then. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
Sure.
And then we can sort of fill people in on what you've been doing now.
Yeah. I'm Chris Michael. Country artist, not multiple nominee with the MCMA. I've been doing country now for about 6 years. I come from a background of grunge rock. I was doing a band called Jekyll many years ago, did that for like 12 years. And I just evolved into the whole songwriting process through some mutual friends that we have. So
cool.
Who inspired me to, you know, I could express myself more by channeling into country. And that's why I ultimately went to that road.
And I think that when we first talked, you were sort of just getting off the ground. But then in the years between that, I mean, you started, you know, you would see your stuff online and then you'd be getting these nominations, like you said, the CMAs and singles would be getting some buzz and stuff. And then, I mean, you know, it seems like I haven't heard from you in a while. And I think a lot of people haven't heard from you in a while.
No, it's been about a little over a year now that I've kind of had to step away from music and stuff. Yeah.
And we'll for sure get into it. That, you know, what happened and why you're coming back in that. I was very, very happy to see that you were coming back. I mean, even seeing stuff on social media about new singles and videos and things happening, like, it seems like you're jumping right back into this.
Yeah. It's funny how a small, like, I was just one of the biggest small effort. Next thing you know, I'm like, wham, right back into it. So it's like, holy moly.
It's okay. I mean, I guess the obvious question then is like, where have you been, right? Because you were getting a lot of buzz happening. You were getting a lot of attention. You were getting nominated. You were
absolutely
playing a lot of shows. Your name was all over the place. And then nothing.
And then nothing, yeah. So I made some, a couple things happened. So I was playing with my band and then I decided I wanted to try flipping a house.
Okay.
Like I've had my business for many years, which I do is my kind of like livelihood, and I do music as well, which also supports me. But so I wanted to try this ambitious idea of flipping a house, which became super overwhelming.
Yeah.
Literally almost drained me. So I, all the commitments going on in my life kind of had to focus towards that. Unfortunately, otherwise I may have gone bankrupt.
Right. Well, that's important.
Like it was really bad.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I actually got diagnosed. I don't really want to talk about the things too much, like what I was diagnosed with, but it's a lot of stomach issues. So, and as you very well know, like I've not had a drink in 12 years. I'm sober.
Yeah.
And, one of the huge reasons to my absence from music was my doctors decided to put me on a pain management. And when they did that, a lot of things profoundly affected me in my life.
Right.
Because of my addictive nature. And I think I just want to be open with the world about it.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up being one of those guys that chose to abuse it a bit.
Yeah. Well, that happens to a lot of people.
Not intentionally.
No, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And like, so like my conditions aren't like bad. They're manageable with health. And yes, I'm still in pain with other things, but I've found ways to cope with it now and seek the, you know, the help I needed to actually do this. And I think I'd rather live with pain than be on pain management. To be honest with you, because for some reason, like, I don't know how many people have gone through stuff like addictions in life. And like, it seems to be like one of the biggest problems I've always had. Maybe that's what helps me inspire to write good music, or the music I think is good, right? I don't know. But inevitably, yeah, it made me lose like my creativity.
Yeah, yeah.
And my passion. It took, like, it gave me relief in my life.
Yeah.
But it also took the things away that I love.
So the side effect was worse than the,
Yeah. So between the house and these choices that I made with the doctors, ultimately, yeah. And I had a just a wonderful group of guys I was playing with at the time too. And they all, you know, unfortunately, the things going into my life made a great sacrifice. And I regret that.
Yeah.
That kind of happened, but I've bounce back and I'm doing a lot better with it now.
That's good. Yeah. So what is it like to come back from that? Cause I mean, you know, obviously not everyone who sees you coming back knows the backstory. They don't know where you went.
Yeah.
But I mean, you clearly want to talk about it and you want people to know what the issue was. So
I do.
Is it daunting to come back? Like the idea of people, you know, are going to, if they don't know this about you already, they're going to know it. They may have judgments. They may have like, you know, it changed the way they view you. Does that matter?
Like, I think the best way I could say it is I feel very vulnerable.
Yeah. Which is good for songwriting. I mean, I hate to, I'm not trying to diminish the, you know, the situation.
I'm super intimidated right now with things.
Yeah.
Getting back into music,
yeah.
Right? Like, I'm being asked to do things and I'm like, oh, am I ready for this? Am I not?
Yeah.
It's almost like literally starting over after a major reset.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, the way I'm looking at writing music and recording, cause you know, I'm big into recording.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, and just the way I'm approaching music after everything that's happened, it's kind of like a reset.
Yeah.
It's completely different, but,
completely different. Is it, I mean, would you say it's sonically different or is it?
Yeah.
Sound that too.
Not, like, not completely sonically. Not only that, but like even the lyricism, places I guess because I'm so vulnerable, I'm just willing to expose myself to any length at this point.
Yeah.
So in my songwriting, like before, I would never talk about the things I was ashamed of in myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I'm facing it head on.
So that's gonna help as far as a songwriter too, right? Is knowing that you don't have to, you know, hide things.
I think facing these things is what's giving me this courage that I have.
Yeah.
And that's why, reaching out to everybody from my past, you know, including yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was like, hey, man, you know, and you've always been such a great friend. I can just talk to you, right? So that.
Well, yeah, that's the idea, right? I mean, this is a good format for you to talk about this because it's a great guy.
It's horrible.
And it's comfortable. And, you know, there's an audience, but they're not right here.
Yeah.
Like going to hear it afterwards after you sort of, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So we're now, I performed for the first time live last week.
Okay. How'd that go?
Right. And actually I was asked the day before.
Okay.
And I started recording again and getting into recording. And what I was asked, I was like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? If the duty calls. I'm doing it.
And how did it turn out?
It was great.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
But I went on stage and I just played my heart out.
Cool.
I didn't think about anything other than, you know what? I'm like, I want to pick up right where I left off.
Shining on the wrong side. Oh, and love knows this is how. comes up and the day's gone past by. Everything's all right. Till we say goodbye, this is how it goes.
That's interesting you say that too, because I mean, you know, you want to pick up where you left off. Of course, you had all this momentum going for you and everything. Yet then, like you said, sort of you've changed, your songwriting has changed, your
everything's changed.
So it's got to be tricky to sort of, you know, try to continue when things are obviously different, right?
Yeah,
because people may be going into this having remembered a song you did 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and that might not be, it clearly isn't the same you that they're hearing now.
Well, like for example, like here, like. A little over a year ago, last show I played, like I was oozing on stage with confidence. Completely like not missing a beat. When I went on stage last week and it was Nancy Dagg that she's like, oh, you should get up and play. And I'm like, you know, this is like fate saying, you got to do this, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. Holy shit. Was I nervous? It felt like the first time I ever played on stage in my life, like butterflies. Like,
yeah.
I didn't like puke, but like I could have puked before I played because I was like, oh, I don't know, right? This is so nervous. I'm on stage with these other guys, and the only thing going through my head is like, these guys have practiced these songs. I'm pulling out songs I haven't played in a year, and I didn't even practice them.
Yeah.
Because even this lady Colette there, she's like, play something that you haven't played in a while. And I'm like,
that's everything, right?
Where do we start, right? Like, I've been writing songs for, 20 years?
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay. So, I pulled out a couple songs. And, when I was done, though, when I was done playing, it felt so amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Like, I didn't care if I made a mistake or made a fool of myself. That felt so good to be back on stage. So, of course, you know what I did?
Book another show.
I went back to the songwriter night the following Tuesday, and I redeemed myself. And I think I got nothing but compliments and everything. And I was like, so like, I'm just super energized right now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So coming from that, that energetic rock background, I mean, does country still feel like the way to deliver these songs for you? Like,
okay. So that's that change that's happened. So when I was doing country, obviously I was led into this, like, you know, I had some guidance and people that got behind me. We have so many fellow people we work with, and you know, I was trying to fit the mold.
Yeah, and that's kind of what, it's funny, because even that first time that I met you, the song you played live, just you with the guitar, didn't necessarily fit sort of the more, not that you were a pop country artist, but you stick to have that sort of more glossy vibe with your recorded stuff. And it sounded good, but it didn't seem like the same fit. You know what I mean?
Like I was a rock artist.
Yeah.
Trying to be a country
artist. Yes. Which is
where I didn't know the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't know what made country country then.
Yeah. It's not just an acoustic guitar, right? There's more. Yeah.
You're always like, oh, look at this guy. He's playing three chords and singing about dirt roads and beer. Like, come on, right? Like, yeah. Actually, you know what? Like, after playing with so many different session players over all these years, like I've learned that it's in the nuances, it's in the how you present it, the story that's in the songs, the substance that's in the song. It's like so complicated. Like it would take an hour for me to describe what makes country country.
Well, and that definition is not going to be the same as the next guy either, right? I mean, there's some similarity, but there's so much.
Yeah, then everybody always hears him like, it's just three chords and the guy sounds like he's singing mono. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, there's one
more. It's a lot more complicated. Yeah. So it's like, you have to actually be really talented to do country well.
To do it well, yes. Yeah.
To do it well. Yeah. So, and that's my goal now.
So you still, country is still the genre that you...
Countries, yeah, definitely my genre that I'm going for. But so, you know... You know what was missing the whole time? And I'll openly admit this. And I mean, I was touching on it, but I wasn't doing it. Because the reality is, I'm a grit guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a grit guy.
It's either singing voices.
I'm a grit guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why I was hiding from it.
Yeah.
So all my new songs that I'm doing now, I'm just being me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to fit the mold anymore. So naturally, working with country for this amount of time, I've just become, like, once you go country, you can't go back.
Right.
I remember this label that was, like, sitting down with me, and they're like, hey, play some songs. And I played the songs. Like, yeah, we want to sign you. And I'm like, okay, great, right? And again, I'm just not going to mention
names. Yeah, of course, yeah, it's fine.
For many reasons, but... And then they're like, but we want you.
They know who they are.
They probably, everybody knows who we're talking about, right? So, but they're like... but we want you to do country. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
You thought you were doing...
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not going to wear cowboy boots. I'm not going to wear a cowboy hat. Like, kick rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they literally may be trying a cowboy hat.
Well,
and I'm like, yeah, I'm not really into this. But I took the bait anyways. And I managed to wean my way out of it because, like, they're trying, like, you need to sing like this. You need to do this. You need to do that. Like, I've just never been a guy who likes to be told what to do, right? So I'm like, yeah, I just you know, pushed back as hard as I could.
So do you feel, I mean, within that still staying in the country thing, do you feel more okay with letting that rock background come in if it needs to?
Yeah. How does it help you? This is the magic of it. It's like, okay, so I think the past 5 years or so, or I can't remember
whatever
it's been, my first interview.
Been a while.
Like, I think it like taught me a lot. I learned a lot from all these amazing musicians and all these amazing people I've worked with. And then decided, now I could take this information that I've been given, like a palette.
Sure.
And I can now just create my own paintings. But for me to do that, I have to hold the brush. And by holding the brush, that's the grit.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I got to be me.
Sure.
Right? I'm not some soft guy who's had an easy life. I mean, I've been through shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, so.
And then, like, just a country is kind of one of the best genres to address that, too.
I mean, I think at this point, it actually works. They're like, I'm not fighting it anymore.
Yeah.
But God, like, I just, if there's any piece of advice I can give to anybody who wants to go into country, don't try to fit the mold that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to sound like this guy. Like, who cares? Morgan Wallen's Morgan Wallen. Let Morgan Wallen be Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You be you. Cruising down that old dirt road, listen songs we all know so loud. So proud that the whole world knows. Ain't passing by, just living my life like every last moment lost in time. Oh Lord, give me freedom from myself.
in the Friday fights, high school beer in the good old times. When we talked about how we all survived, tailgates down in a big bonfire. There's a thing I know, take space in my head, and the only escape is making me dead. Let's talk one-on-one. Smashed up truck. Oh, the memories I wish were just bad dreams. But I paid my dues and made the choice to choose on what I stand for and what I lose. In the night sky, always dark when the clouds roll by. There's a big light in all taking space in my head, and the only escape is making me dead. Let's talk one on one. Space in my head, and the only escape is making me dead. Let's talk one-on-one all night long. There's a daylight noise taking space in my head, and the only escape is making me dead. Let's talk one-on-one.
One of the things that comes up on this show all the time is the idea that people in Manitoba, but I think elsewhere too, but I think especially here, have like a super strong bullshit detector. Like people know when music audiences know when someone is full of shit and when they're trying to do something. It happens in hip hop, it happens in country, it happens in anything, punk rock, whatever genre, right? There's people who are trying to not be themselves.
Absolutely.
And I think that audiences here generally notice that, and the bands that succeed. Whether they're like, you know, they become famous or they just succeed in terms of putting out good music and having strong support, they're real, right? And that and country, like, it's so weird that country is so notoriously fake in a lot of ways, because it's the genre that has like so much opportunity to be real.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's its own niche, right? Like,
So what
that's a whole topic in itself. But yeah,
What happens now, though? I mean, so you have songs that you've been working on. You've
oh, if you're out there, you perform now.
You're publicly back in terms of like from media presence. You're doing this. You're out there. Whoa, what where does this go? Are you putting into another band? Are you gonna stay? What's happening?
So I guess like four or five weeks ago, right? I wrote this song. I don't know, maybe 2 months ago, and I never cut a song right away when I write.
Okay.
Like, I like to sit on it and marinate it and, like, because you always live with the little... I've done that where I've, like, played a song, recorded it, and then later I'm like, as you're working with other bandmates, you're like, oh, we kind of did this breakdown or did this. So now I just learned the lesson, like, let the stuff marinate. You should always let it marinate. And so I decided that I was going to pick up and just take the song, go downstairs. I got my studio. I was actually at one point going to sell everything.
Yeah, including the studio.
The studio, right? Like, and I mean, I built that studio so that like when I'm ready to retire, like that's going to be my income. Like,
sure.
Like, so like I've put my whole entire life into that. But so I pull out a guitar, I start tracking, and then I'm like, you know, just for fun, I'm going to play drums.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I haven't played never. I lay a drum track, and I lay a bass track, and then I lay vocals. And I'm like, wow, I feel so inspired.
Yeah.
From listening back to it. So I decided to cut the song and release it. And that's kind of how it all started. It wasn't intentional. I didn't go, oh, I'm going to start doing music again.
Yeah.
That's not how it came to be.
So then on that recording, you are the band, obviously.
I just, yeah. Like, are you hoping to do more? Because I really wasn't planning to do anything, right? Like, I wasn't planning on getting a band back together again. I wasn't really planning on doing anything. It was just, because, you know, like, I recognized these mistakes I made. I went on these pain medications. I abused them. It took some time for me to, like, deal with that.
Sure.
And, like, kind of get away from them. And then as, obviously, I got away from all that, my creativity started coming back. My energy started coming back. And I cut the song.
Yeah.
And I put it out there. And I didn't use any session players because I really didn't do it other than just doing it for myself. It was just for me because, yeah. And that's why I called the song The Way Back. It's like, I'm literally like just trying to like do something for me to, you know, yeah. And share it with the world. And like, and I actually referenced a lot of like stuff that's kind of brought me to where I am in life. Like that big car accident that I got into 14 years ago and lost my license for 15 years. I get the license back in May.
Oh, wow. That's very recent.
15 years.
Do you even remember how to drive?
The pile of it. I have to do my beginners again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm serious. Right? And I like, oh, man. So, yeah, the song's out. And then all of a sudden, people are like, man, you did a great job.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's all stepping stones. It's like, this wasn't intentional. But I'm like, I don't think I've ever wanted to be back into music more than I do at this very moment right now.
It's a good place to be in, then.
Like, I just... all I want in life. I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I need to be doing this. This is what I need to be doing right now.
When you're obviously successfully reintroducing yourself, I mean, like you said with that song and you're out there and stuff. No. So how do you, I mean, like we've said, you know, established a few times here, you had this kind of momentum going right before you sort of dropped off, right?
Yeah.
And if people knew your name, you were playing a lot of shows, you were getting a lot of attention. How do you rebuild that? Oh, and then I guess the sub question of that is, do you even want to rebuild that the same way?
I don't think so. I think I might have just kind of put myself out there more than I really anticipated. You know, like I kind of was like, I'm doing this, and next thing you know, I was playing at the Stampede and I was playing Country Fest.
Yeah,
it was doing all these things, and I was like, right on, right? But I think right now, like, I just, like, I'm okay, man, playing guitar in somebody's living room.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever been so humble about music as I am right now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes with all the vulnerability of everything that's kind of happened over the past year and everything I've been through.
Like, sure.
It really, like, you know, brings you down a few notches and goes like, hey, I'm human.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, coming out of all that and is going to do that for you, right? Yeah.
And I don't want, you know, I really don't want people to have the illusion that I, like, you've known me for a long time. I personally don't think I have an ego. Anytime I see somebody needs help or anything, like, I'm always trying to be the first guy there. And I just hate that. Like, if anybody may have that illusion, or I may have that illusion, or people have that illusion of people, like, egos are bad.
I guess you need a certain extent of it to be, have the confidence to perform on stage and things like that, right? That level of it is okay.
Yeah, when you're on stage and you're performing, absolutely. But, you know, right now, I'm okay starting from the bottom.
Yeah.
If I got to start at the bottom of the barrel and work my way back up, I'm willing to put in the time and I'm willing to put in the effort and earn my stripes back. And that's what I want to do differently.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Because, like, when I first went into country, I mean, I had a lot of people that helped me break those walls down and yeah. Get in. And right now, you know, if I got to start by playing at singer-songwriter nights and doing all these things, that's the work and the time I'm going to put in.
Yeah.
Thank you. just then, I can say that I care better than the best of family.
Well, and that also, like, can open you up to a different audience, too, that maybe wasn't necessarily interested in what you're doing before.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll hear you playing acoustically solo at a singer-songwriter night, and something about your songs will appeal to them, maybe in a way that the glossier, more produced, more full band country stuff.
Right.
Right? I mean, because I think country and, not that I would ever call you a folk artist, but I think country and folk are so closely related.
Yeah.
That storytelling aspect of it kind of goes between the two of them, and then there's a lot of sort of shared vibes of
right.
them, and I think that the audiences are different, but there are points where they converge, right?
But that's part of growing into who you are and
sure.
not fitting the mold.
Yeah, you said that a number of times today, and I think that's yeah, that definitely seems like the your
like,
mantra, right?
Is like, I want to grow into something.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, it's okay to do the small stuff. And, or, you know, it doesn't have to be always big. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, I want to do that because there's a producer, Chris Flores, down in LA, right? He's just like, you know, all these guys I've ever met, Chris, that are all famous.
Yeah.
And you ask them, like, what is your favorite part about your musical career? It was the journey.
Yeah.
Never. It's always the journey. So, like, what parts of the journey did I miss?
Yeah.
And I'm so lucky that I got this reset. Like, my whole thing's reset.
Yeah. Well, I guess the other thing, too, about the reset, like, you're not 20 anymore, right? So, I mean, you're in almost a better position where you can reset. And someone who's starting out and they're 19 years old and they have all these big dreams of becoming a fan.
That's the thing.
You're more grounded. You have a better idea of what being an artist is.
I want to take it all in.
Like, it seems like you're in almost a better spot to reset for your
name.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to make the world of a difference for me as a songwriter now, is because, you know what? I got my lickings and I've been getting hit with the humble stick, you know, like.
So does that
come down a few notches, and that's okay.
Does being there down a few notches, does that change sort of what your, I guess like eventual outcome of this project is? Like, are you okay if you never, you know, you continue making songs, you continue performing, you stayed playing singer-songwriter nights the rest of the next 40 years, you're cool with that?
Absolutely. 100%. Because I'm not doing this for anything other than like the joy of it.
Yeah.
Like the thing is, what I realized is like when I recorded that song, I just love playing and making music.
Yeah.
The journey. So like, I'm just always like, and I'm super convinced. I'm like, I've missed so much stuff that I should have didn't taken in.
Yeah. Well, now you got another chance to do it.
And now I have I'm older now. Yeah.
But that's the thing about country. You can be old. Yeah. Of all genres, you can't be old and rock. Otherwise you look like you're just old. And
you can be 95 that are good to guitar like Willie Nelson. You're
good to go.
Yeah. I just gotta get myself an old guitar there. What does Willie call his
trigger?
Trigger. Right. Trigger. Yeah. I gotta get me a
version of that.
The trigger.
Right on. So how do people hear this? I mean, you know, people hearing this show maybe are being introduced to you for the first time or reintroduced to you. You say, where should someone go if they want to hear you? Because, I mean, obviously, I've been doing this show for a million years. I don't see any point where I ever stop it. So this could say, I could hear this the day it comes out, or they could hear it 5 years down the road. So what's the best way to track you down?
So, you know, we did yesterday, we went to a songwriter night and we got home. And we sat in the driveway, and like I've recorded some new songs the other day with Cody Awaziak and Steven Arundel and all that. And man, they're killer.
Cool.
And I can't wait to get those released. But so I was checking on some of the mixes in the truck just to see what they sound like. And I'm like, yeah, let's go on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I started listening to all my music from the day I started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like as I said it, I was like, you know, and then there's one side of me, it's like, you know what? I'm going to re-record all those songs. But by the time I was done, I'm like, why would I want to do that?
Yeah, you want to move forward, not.
No, but like, that's where I started. I don't want to ever forget that.
Right, right.
I don't care if it's not as great. It's not about the greatness of it. It's about that's a time in my life.
Yeah.
That why would I want to like get rid of it?
Well, you're never going to be able to redo it perfectly because there'll be some kind of nuances from back then that you can't recreate.
Does it mean I sing intense brittered outright? Like, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, but like, I just really enjoyed it. So yeah, absolutely. Finding my music, Spotify, YouTube, all those places everybody listens to music. Absolutely. And if they want to kind of dig into like where I started and where I am, by all means, all that old stuff still leaving it on there.
Yes.
I am not removing it. I don't want to deface who I am. And I'm proud of what I did back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. It's always kind of bugs me when people try to rewrite history, you know? Part of the reason I do this show and I've been doing it for so long is because I think it's important to document local music and local musicians and the art that they make. And I think that when people are going in and re-recording or editing or deleting or, you know, completely disappearing stuff that they did, it's kind of defeats the purpose of something like this. I mean, you know, I'm one of those people who thinks everyone should be recording video at every show they play.
Yeah.
Just because I remember going to shows in like 1995 and that wasn't even an option.
Right.
And I wish I could see those videos now of those shows. But yeah. If I had a cell phone back then, I would have been filming it. You know what I mean? So like,
absolutely.
Yeah. I think there's value to having that old stuff.
Technology brought us some good things.
A lot of sad things.
A lot of bad things, right? I'm like, I don't even bother trying to fight AI. Or I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to roll with it, whatever.
So
I'm not using for songwriting.
That's good.
I still, all my music is completely authentic. Like I write it, I make my own heart, like my own melodies and rhyming. I don't do that.
Get to hear. So, okay. So all the music's still out there. People can find the old stuff, the new stuff, whatever.
Absolutely.
And then as far as like where to find out about upcoming shows and things like that, where should they go?
The website. So I guess like we still have the website. I haven't changed anything from there, but, for sure needs to get updated. Probably by the time people hear.
Hopefully by the time you'll hear. So,
yeah, we'll be updated.
So what's the website? What's the...
www.chrismichael.com.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I got that while we could still get names without numbers.
Only saints know how to fall in love, 'cause I find my myself is trouble. Heaven got angels and we got back roads. Muddy banks, beers, and four-wheel drives. How about that? Got me living down here, it's all right. Enjoying the view, having a view, reminiscing on such a good life. It don't matter where you find your dirt, no matter what you call your home. If the sun don't shine, you don't let it in, nothing beats a great sunrise. And one day you'll meet the one in all your dreams, and watch the sun go down. That's how it works with heaven on earth, best place around. And everything you learn about little hippiness, eating in a bucket's on the back of my truck, working 9 to 5, just living for the weekend. Sitting back with long necks, sipping, how about that? Got me living down here, it's alright. Listening to Willie, watching girls dancing, life's alright. It don't matter where you find your dirt, only matters what you call your home. If the sun don't shine, if you don't let it in, nothing beats a great sunrise. And one day you'll meet the one. That's how it works with heaven on earth, best place around. Got me living down here, it's alright. It don't